everybody. Dr. Joe Vitale here, and I'm very excited. I've been interviewing people for many, many years, in fact, about 10 years, and most of those interviews are over at hypnoticgold.com. But then I took a pause, and I am very selective about who I interview these days. They've got to be somebody new, somebody exciting, somebody inspiring, somebody who's moved me in some kind of way. And then I will crawl out of my hut, and I will plug in the phone, and then I'll do another interview. And so I'm excited because all of that has happened, and I've got an offer on the line that has inspired me, entertained me, delighted me, and stretched me with her books. And so I reached out. She generously agreed to be interviewed, and we are going to be doing that right now. Now, who do I have on the phone? Jen Sincero is a best-selling author, speaker, and motivational cattle prod who has helped countless people transform their personal and professional lives via her public appearances, newsletters, products, and books, including her latest, You Are a Badass. You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. She's spoken on stages all over the world and has coached full-on superheroes, helping her clients build their dream businesses, become New York Times best-selling authors, navigate million-dollar business deals, find their soulmates, and forgive their bitchy mothers who they now realize were doing the best they could. Her other books include the semi-autobiographical novel Don't Sleep With Your Drummer, and the national bestseller, The Straight Girl's Guide to Sleeping with Chicks. You can visit Jen on the web at www.jensincero.com. And Jen, are you there?
I am here.
Wow.
I got you out of your hut.
Yeah, I had to figure out how the phone works. You know, I don't know these landlines. What's a landline? It sounds like a landmine. I don't know what this is, but here I am. I am so delighted to have you on the phone. I love your book, You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. It is, it's got attitude, but it also has comedy, it also has inspiration, and it has these practical techniques in it to help people actually become this force to reckon with. So congratulations, that's an amazing book.
Well, thank you so much. It's such an honor coming from the likes of you. So it's very exciting.
Well, I got to warn you, though, Jen. I have some hard-ass, candy-ass, and smart-ass questions for you.
Spurring them on. I called out of my hut for this call, too, you know. You're not the only one.
Well, my very first question, my very first badass question is, how are your cats doing?
My cats? They're both gone.
What?
I mean,
I'm starting off with a lousy question? What?
I know. Well, I'll tell you what. It's not a lousy question because anybody who has animals know that our little animal friends are our little spiritual guides in so many ways. And my cat, who I had two cats, one passed, and then the other one was 22 years old, and he was hanging around, you know, putting up a good fight, and then when he died, it was the moment that I actually decided to leave my home and most of my possessions and travel the world for 3 years, so he sort of released me. He was sort of the only thing I was sticking around for, so
that's a good thing
on the fact that my cat died, right?
No, well, I am an animal lover, and I just lost a cat of 15 years with a slow process, and we have a dog that is in those last days, and we are doing everything to help. So I know that you had made reference in some of your books about your kitties and how you learned how what they do all day long, which is
right.
So
talk about not leaving the hut.
Yeah, talk about not leaving the hut. They sleep and they poop and then they sleep and poop. I mean, that's
right.
Pretty much it. But you said something interesting. You said it kicked off your journey, your 3 years of global nomadery. What actually was that all about? Because I know from reviewing this material and your books and looking online to look you up and looking at your website at jensincero.com that you were considered by yourself to be a loser, and today you are this force to reckon with. You are a badass, as you tell everybody else. So what's the turning point? How did you go through those years? What was that all about?
Well, you know, for me, I loser's a relative term, and I think it's a funny one, so that's sort of why I use it. And I did. I felt like a big fat loser when it came to money, to be quite frank. Like, I was a writer, I was a musician, I was doing a lot of things that I loved, but I personally just could not figure out the money piece. It was such a mystery to me. It felt like people who were making money were basically other species than I was. And I got to the point where I just was so sick of it. And, you know, a lot of people do have these lightning bolt moments where, you know, they find out they have a terrible disease or somebody dies and it sort of kicks their butt into action. I think I just got so drop-dead bored with myself and my lack of funds that's when I sort of got my poop in a scoop, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so for me, this whole badass journey for me started really around money and reshaping my thought process around money. But, you know, anybody who's following you and who has done any of this work understands once it's all the same stuff. So once
right.
you start to become aware and raise your frequency, it affects every part of your life. So it was an awesome, painful and terrifying, but, you know, overall just so exciting and awesome. And that's sort of in a nutshell how it happened.
Well, you say something interesting too, though, because you kind of jumped into the deep end, because if you were actually dealing with money or the lack of it and your battle with it, you somehow went in without it. In other words, you quit your job, according to one book. You quit your job, went home. That's when you discovered what cats did all day. And you apparently went to India and some other places, and you're doing this either without money or on borrowed money or on a shoestring. I don't even know how you're doing it. How are you doing this when you have issues with money?
Okay, so the first part was I did get my money act together by putting on a credit card a very enormous sum for me at the time to hire a coach who was good at making money. So that was really, you know, that's the leap of faith we talk about. Like, you have to do the thing that scares the crap out of you most. And at that time, spending money was that very thing. And, you know, lo and behold, by doing that, I ended up tripling my income within the first, 3 months of working with her. She was a total rock star.
Let's not rush by that. That's huge. That's huge. No, we can't rush by that. I mean, it's huge on many levels. Where did you get the faith to do that on a credit card? Because we both run into people, and we've both been there, where we're terrified of spending a dime because you don't believe you're going to get another dime. So you're holding on. Somehow, during all of this in your life experience, you managed to take the jump. What was going on inside of you? How did you make that decision to say, you know what, I'm going to gamble on this coach, and I'm going to gamble on myself, and I'm going to gamble my borrowed money. I'm going to go into debt to do this. What went on in your head?
You know, that's such a great question. I really believe that I was so sick of myself. I can't honestly really remember, but I do know that I was just like, okay, you know what? Like, this is the best you can do, really? Like, I was seeing other people out there who were making just buttloads of cash, who I personally thought were not nearly as charming and interesting as I was. So I was like, you know, if they can do it, come on. It can't be. It's not rocket science. And I just, I don't know. I something just clicked inside of me, and I think for a lot of people, you know, we just get to a point where we get over ourselves. And I don't believe that you need to bottom out and, you know, be homeless or have a disease. You know, like, you don't. You really don't. You just need to make the decision, right? That really is the big D. It's the big moment. And I just made the damn decision. I was done. And I put it on my credit card.
Yes.
Went and threw up, and then immediately called that coach and begged her for my money back. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
And to her great credit, she was just like, she was like, this is the first part of your growth. This is the stretch you needed to take.
Oh, wow.
And congratulations, you know.
And congratulations. Well, that was a turning point in your life, but it was also a turning point in everybody else that you're reaching now with your books, like this one, You Are a Badass. I don't know that they would have come – around had you not made that decision in that moment with that coach on and that credit card.
And that's such a great point, because everybody who's listening who feels like they're in a certain place that is so unacceptable to who they know they are, like, you get to use that down the road when you allow yourself to blossom.
I'm curious, and I'm going to wander, I guess, a little bit in this question, okay. But, you know, we both agree we're just free birds here, and we're just being spontaneous, and we want to mm-hmm. trust ourselves and trust the flow. So were there a couple key points that coach walked you through or gave you or got you to think about or something to do to help you with money? And what I'm looking for here is for the people that are listening, I want this to be inspiring and informative, but I want them to be able to walk away with, oh, I can do that, or I need to do that, some takeaway points. So what comes to mind that particular coach, whoever it was, put you through to help you break through with the money?
One thing that is so beautiful is when you really do understand the concept that money is currency and currency is energy. Mm. And when you get into the frequency of the kind of financial abundance that you desire to manifest. And so she put it in layman's terms for me that I could totally understand at the time. It was like, okay, so when you're trying to make rent and it's, you know, at the end of the month and you ain't got no money and you have no idea where it's going to come from and you are just completely focused on this very specific amount of money coming in at this very specific amount of time, it always happens. It always comes in at the last minute through a check that you forgot or suddenly like a freelance job appears or something. When you are so specific and you've got so much emotion around it and you've got all your laser beams pointed at that. And so she really taught me that is how the energetic world works. Like, when you give the universe specifics and you back it up with a lot of emotion, that's when you allow yourself to manifest. I mean, and don't get me wrong, you have to work for it too. It's not just about sitting around and, you know, mm-hmm. thinking about stuff. But so she taught me that really is the way that it goes, and that when you decide to grow and stretch yourself, it's not about just creating a kind of life where you're scraping by and you take what you can get. You start to demand of yourself and of the universe to start calling in greater amounts of abundance so that you can really expand and start living the kind of life that you know you want to live and give back in the way that you know you want to give. So that was that really helped me understand that, it really does need to come in. But
I want to ask you about is the emotion part of it, because a lot of people might be thinking as they're listening to this, well, that was great for you, but because you were being specific, which is very powerful. You do want to be specific. You do want to have that clear intention. You do want to demand it from yourself and the universe. But a lot of people, the emotion they bring in is fear. They have the emotion of desperation, like, well, I'm specific, I want my rent money, and I can feel I want my rent money, but where they're coming from is, I don't believe it's really coming.
Right.
That kind. So what was how did you twist or turn or fine-tune the emotion, or how were you helped to do that, so you can come more from optimism than from terror?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Well, understanding that it's all a learned behavior. We live in a super duper scaredy cat society. It is our first stop off in the emotional train rail. I don't know where I just came up with that metaphor.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, you know, doubt, fear, and worry, right? The second we get an idea, the second the intuition hits us, the first place we go is all the reasons why it's not going to work and how we're going to never make money and get made fun of and we're not ready and blah, 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 right? That's trained. That is a totally trained reaction to life. Mm. So if you can train yourself to do that, you can train yourself to, the second you get an idea, to look at all the awesome ways that it could possibly happen and all the reasons that you totally deserve it and how fun it's going to be when it does happen.
Mm.
So if you think, you know, if you are like terrified and worried about the rent money, it's a matter of doing the work, and it's like going to the gym. You've got to build up that muscle of belief and gratitude, you know? I mean, that's where the books come, like your books come in and DVDs and all that stuff. Like, it's a conscious choice to change the ruts that you've got in your brain of the way that you automatically think. Don't you think? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I love how you're describing it. Yeah, we're rewiring our brain, and most of us are just coming from the way we were already taught to think. And we were taught to think from people who were already thinking in a negative, limited way because they were thought to think that. Very, very few exceptions to it. Until something like an interview like this, for somebody listening to it, they might have the aha experience and go, oh, I need to retrain my own brain. Or they read your book or any of the other books that are out there that are self-help classics, which is your book at this point. I mean, you are a badass. It's a wonderful book. And I love that you say things in there. And I'm going to quote from the book. You have a line where it says, most answers reveal themselves through doing, not thinking. Mm. Most answers reveal themselves through doing, not thinking. And I'm repeating that one because... you mentioned about taking action in this. You don't just sit there and it shows up. I actually believe it could show up, but we usually have to do things to help it along and give it a clue where I live and things like that. So I wanted to hear you talk a little bit about that. What does it mean about taking action, and what does it mean from the line in your book, most answers reveal themselves through doing, not thinking?
Well, there are a couple things. Like, first of all, because we are raised the way that we are and our thoughts are a little bit squirrely and not quite so, you know, we don't quite have them they don't obey us the way that we would like them to, right?
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
They're a little
they're monkeys. They're monkeys running
they're
us
monkeys.
Around. They're chasing us.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So when you're trying to... you know, when you're out there changing your reality and manifesting new things in your life, you're still coming from the same old thought patterns that you've got, right? And you're working on them, and you're calling yourself on it, and you're being aware, and you're shifting your belief systems and all that is great. But it's so easy to get caught back up in those thought processes. And again, like, it is so easy to talk yourself right out of something by thinking about it too much, right? So if you sit around and just think, you could come up with 8 billion reasons why not. So I'm a huge believer of the second you get that intuitive impulse, start taking action, because the next impulse for most people is to start rattling off all the reasons why it's not going to work. So by taking action, those impulses are coming anyway, but you're going forward anyway. So it sort of just bulldozes right over them, right, and doesn't give them the power of holding you back for that.
Is that how you wrote your book, You Are a Badass? Were you inspired? Did you get this intuitive moment? Did you get a hit? Were you thinking about it for a very long time? Where did that birth come from?
You know, it really was the kind of thing where I have read every self-help book under the sun in my, you know, my journey to get my act together. There's so much brilliant, brilliant stuff out there, but I was like... for my own, and I was the queen of the snarky kingdom. I was like rolling my eyes at everything, but all these self-help people were such goobers, you know. Like, I was so too cool for school, but I was also so desperate that I was like, I'm going to read it anyway. I hope I don't get caught. And then I was like, what if, you know, I would have loved a book that, like, made me laugh and dropped a couple F-bombs along the way and just made it more palatable to me. And honestly, I wrote this for the other people out there who were sort of judgy, wudgy like I was, but who so desperately need the help. And I figured if I can coat all the good stuff with some humor and some irreverence, it would speak to a lot of people who aren't already on the self-help party train. And
it's one of the things I like about the book is the humor. You come across as a stand-up self-help author or a sit-down self-help comedian. I don't know. But there's that sense of humor that just makes me chuckle, but there's also the light that you're shining as you are sharing the humor. What I'm curious about is when you got the idea to write the book, and maybe you had the title, maybe you didn't, but you had already read all these self-help books, didn't you have the thought, why write another one? Why add to the success literature pile that's a mountain that goes back centuries? How did you deal with that part of your brain that said, oh, it's been done?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because anybody out there who is facing that, When we did send the book proposal out, we got rejected by pretty much every publisher, excepting the very, very last one at the very ends of the earth, like the last one who got it. And they all said the very same thing that you just said. But I'll tell you, I didn't really wrestle with that because I knew I wasn't, you know, saying anything that new. I was just saying it in a new way, and I know how I heard something over. I heard things, you know, as I said, I was deep in the self-help world, and I would hear the same thing over and over and over, but it wasn't until some one person said it in a certain way that a light bulb finally went on.
Yeah.
And so I really understood that. So I honestly wasn't worried about that, even though the entire publishing industry was.
Was it an easy process to write the book, or did you struggle in writing it?
Oh, Lord. I don't know what your writing process is like, but mine ain't pretty. I basically...
Your moment of silence said it all.
Okay. Someday I'll... I basically don't do anything until I have to, so I traveled for 7 months, and then I wrote the whole thing in 1 month in my robe in the fetal position, like I'm... kind of a crazy person.
That's hilarious. Well, I'm curious, too, what's your definition of a badass? Because I'm throwing around the term, and it's in your title, and I can't help but think that there's people going, well, what exactly is a badass, or what's your definition of a badass? Where are you coming from when you say you are a badass?
I think that we are all badasses, that the universe would not have bothered with us if we didn't have some unique and awesome gift to offer the world. So I really do. I mean, and deep down, we all kind of have this little nugget that we know that, or a big nugget, depending on where you are in your development. But everybody's a badass. You would not be here if you were not a badass. And I think the expression of badassery is when you allow this life force that is the you that is you to come through regardless of the fear, doubt, and worry that comes up for all of us, and you just go for it anyway.
Well, I love it, and I love that you chose that word, because you could have said you are a smart ass, and it's not quite the same. You are a hard ass, it's not quite the same. I mean, you could have gone through all the different...
asses to choose from.
Yeah, there's a lot of asses out there, so you could have picked any number of asses, but badass, that has that kind of dangerous, charming, different, unique quality to it. It's like, well, we kind of like the person, and we want to beware of the person. They're a badass.
Totally. And, you know, it's funny. It's not actually a word that I use a lot, and this was the only title out of all the books that I've written that I really had to struggle with.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny. The other one just came in out of the ethers, and this one was a real sort of wrestling match, but it prevailed, and, you know, I don't even know why or where the word came from, but it just seemed, I don't know, there was a big question mark. I had a lot of questions with this book, and so did everybody, like, you know, the fact that we couldn't get it published, and there was just a lot of huge question marks, but, you know, again, it's like you just keep moving in the right direction. If I sat around and thought about it all day, it wouldn't have happened. I just kept moving forward, even though everybody told me it wasn't going to work, and it was an out-of-the-gate hit, quite honestly, much bigger than any of my other books. And
I know your book is doing fantastic. I've seen it at airports. I've seen it all over. I've promoted it. I'm plugging it. I've come out of my cave to interview the author of it. I mean, this is...
You're the best!
This is great. Now, my job as the interviewer is to keep imagining. I call myself a psychic interviewer because I'm trying to imagine what the listeners are thinking and what they would ask if they had you on the phone, and I'm imagining that there are a lot of people, because I hear from these people, who feel like they're introverted, they feel like they're shy, so they don't want to feel like a badass. That makes them feel uncomfortable. They don't want to really strut their stuff. They want to kind of be behind the computer, behind the curtain, behind the camera. What do you say to those people who are, I guess, intimidated by the thought or the attitude of taking on being a badass?
Well, the first thing I want to say is thank you, because we show offs need you, or there wouldn't be enough room for us out there. Like, I don't think everybody needs to be in front of the camera. I think introverts and people who don't want to, you know, call tons of attention to themselves. Like, it's not about that in the badass world. Like, you know, some of the most badass people are the people behind the scenes, for sure. Like, everybody gets to be who they are. It's all the badassery comes in when you're being the best of who you really are, not who you think you should be. So if that's who you really are and that's where you shine, then, you know, stay in the cave and be a badass there.
I know when I was reading your book, You Are a Badass, I really, you may have to correct me, but I think you ended every chapter with a call to love yourself.
Yeah.
And that was to drive a point home from a hypnotic standpoint. You know, repetition is one of those things that gets it into your brain. And was that as an intention? Did you do that intentionally so everybody can just realize whether you are the badass in front of the camera or the badass behind the camera, you can be a badass in any way, shape, or form you want. Just love yourself.
Yeah. I swear, I feel like with all the coaching and the writing and the studying and analyzing I do of all of this growth, every time when you pick it apart and bring it back down, you know, beneath the limiting beliefs and the yada, 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 what went on, it always comes down to self-love. Like, it is the most basic thing. I believe world hunger, war, if everybody really loves themselves, it would solve everything.
When you say, I love that and I totally agree, when you say love yourself, some people interpret that as an egotistical, narcissistic kind of an experience. What is your definition of self-love? When you say love yourself, what are you actually saying? Or what's another way to say it?
It's about getting out of your own way and having the audacity to love other people as well and to be vulnerable. And that whole egotistical, look at me, I'm so great, actually comes from not loving yourself because you're needing outside confirmation on how great you are. When you truly love yourself, you just exude it and attract that anyway. It's about the inner love, not the outward love.
Yeah, I love that. That is awesome. You know, another line that's in your book, You Are a Badass, because I was reviewing it earlier and enjoying it, it really jumped out, and I think people would like to hear this. Our fantasies are our realities in an excuse-free world. Our fantasies are our realities in an excuse-free world. When I think about that, when it really opens up my brain, and I'm imagining it would do it with other people, because they, at this point, just start to daydream about being a superhero, superwoman, superman in some way, some capacity. And again, it can be in front of the camera, it can be behind the camera. It could be extroverted, it could be introverted. But that fantasy is kind of an indicator of what they really want to do when they drop the mind stuff, the monkey stuff, the excuse stuff. Is that where you're coming from, or is there more to say on that?
Totally. And also something to really remember is that not everybody has the same fantasies you do.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason you have them is because that's who you really are. So, you know, not everybody wants to be a rock star or a best-selling author or have a bunch of kids or find their soulmate. You know, it's whatever really lights you up for a reason. And that's why it's so important to listen to those. Because I remember I was always, you know, with my fantasies, I always thought everybody wanted them because it was so obviously awesome to me. You know, but it's because it's who I am, and it's the universe speaking through me.
Yeah, not everybody wants to be an author. Not everybody wants to be in a band. I mean, you've been all of those things. You were in a band. You are an author. You are now speaking. You're now consulting. You're now doing coaching. But not everybody wants to do that. You have one funny line. I'm just remembering this one. This is strictly from memory, where you say that somebody's passion could be to raise a happy family or to grow the most beautiful tulip.
Right.
Anything goes.
Totally. You don't have to want to, like, be on television and save the world. You're meant here to be who you are, and that's the badass.
And I'm curious what your family thinks. I saw there's a video on your website at www.jensincero.com, and I'll spell it in case people aren't getting that, www.jensincero.com. CERO.com. And there's a little, there's a charming video there, funny video there. You know, there's that stand-up comic again showing up, and your parents show up, which is very cute to see. And I'm just curious, they've seen you transform. So what is their take on this? And I guess I'm also curious, how do they explain it? What do they say when they realize you're a best-selling author? How do they explain that?
My parents are so cute. they're just very happy I'm not writing lesbian sex books anymore. And
right.
They're like, you know what? I have been so blessed with extremely supportive people who raised me. And but I will say, it definitely, gosh, you know, when you're expanding, one of the biggest things that you have to watch out for is the people who love you, cautioning you and worrying about you, right? And worry is such a way of showing love in our culture, which is insane to me. But it is. And disbelief, and, you know, they know the old you, and it's almost like you're killing the old you to become the new you. So they're freaking out and throwing all their fears and stuff on you. So I will say, they were magnificent and still are, and I'm so grateful for them. But it definitely, there was a little bit of snarkiness going on when it was sort of like, you know, they were used to me, you know, rickety ass Jen is coming home asking for, you know, money for a plane ticket. Like, and when I bought my fancy car and started traveling all over the world and staying at 5-star hotels, I definitely got a few raised eyebrows. I did. But it was really challenging their belief of who I was. And I, you know, and we all get it in some degree, regardless of, you know, how we're changing from the people we love, because it makes them uncomfortable.
And how, how should people handle that? Because I hear it too, and I'm sure you do, where people say they're not supported in their family. And somebody, whether they're with a spouse or they still have their parents close by, or maybe they're even living with their parents, and they're reading books like yours, You Are a Badass, or maybe one of mine or one of the others that are out there, and they're really trying to change their lives, but they're in a family community that doesn't understand them and doesn't support them. What? How do you coach them there? What do you tell them? What's the way out?
You guard your dreams and your heart with your life, and you just you don't share it with those people. You still love them. It doesn't mean that you have to break free from them. You just do not share the stuff that they're not to support you on, and you actively seek out other people who are going to support you. Then it has to be a conscious choice. You can't just sit around and whine about the fact that you don't know anybody. Get out there and make it happen. And quite frankly, in the early days, I had to pay for a coach because I didn't know a damn person who was making a dime and who thought it was okay to.
Love that. I absolutely love that. You have another quote in your book that says, "Our reality is a mirror of our thoughts, the people in our reality included." How does that tie in with the family or the spouse that doesn't support you? Our reality is a mirror of our thoughts, the people in our reality included.
Well, you know, we all are all things. And, gosh, I just read that great book by Debbie Ford. I can't believe I hadn't read it up until recently, the Dark Side of the Light Chasers.
Oh, it's one of my all-time favorite books, and I love and miss, I love and miss Debbie. Everybody should read it, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, yes.
So brilliant. I love it. And it's all about how we all have, you know, the ability to be mean and the ability to be awesome, the ability to be cheap and the ability to be generous. And we are all things. And the things that we notice in other people, we wouldn't be able to notice them unless we had them in ourselves. And we tend to focus on the things about other people that we least like about ourselves. So when your family is being all gnarly and judgy-wudgy about you growing, you know, of course, you're the closest people to you. So it's your deepest, most primal fear also being mirrored back to you from them. It doesn't mean that they're not actually experiencing it too, but if you let it stop you, it has more to do with you than it does with them.
That's beautiful. And I also wanted to comment when you talked about protecting your dreams and protecting yourself, whether it's from family who mean well or friends or spouse or whatever. I totally agree. I am highly selective and have been for most of my life on who I share my own dreams with, my own goals with, because I don't want anybody to rain on my parade. I want to keep all of that fuel, and this goes back to what we talked about earlier, about being specific about what you want, having the intention, but also having the emotion. I want my emotion to be up, the vibration to be up, and to be positive. So the only people that I would share a dream with are the people who can help me achieve it, the people who believe in me or believe in it or can actually assist me in getting there. So I just wanted to add that to what you were saying because I totally agree with it.
Yeah, so important. It's so important because we all have our own fear, doubt, and worry to deal with, right? Why choose other people who are going to add to that pot? I got plenty, thanks. I don't need yours, too.
Well, I know another point that's in your book, and this is a major thing for everybody to hear, and you hone in on it, too, and that's the idea of forgiveness. And I don't know that people get that well enough. I didn't write down the exact quote that's in your book, but it went something to the effect of not forgiving somebody or having resentment towards somebody is like taking poison and hoping it hurts them.
Right. Totally. I have to say, I did not come up with that line. I read that somewhere, but it's so brilliant. It's like, you know, we don't want to forgive because somebody hurt us and they deserve to suffer and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Meanwhile, how are they suffering by you being in a crotchety mood all the time? Are you spinning out on how wrong they are? How on earth does that do anything but, you know, make you go gray early, you know? It's like, it's so obvious, but we do it all the time. So it really, when you can wrap your mind around the fact that it's not doing any good to anybody, and that when you forgive, you set yourself free. Yeah.
I think it was Wayne Dyer who said that if there's any lack in your life anywhere, lack of funds, lack of money, lack of love, whatever, you have to look within yourself for where you've not released the resentment, you haven't forgiven. Mm-hmm. That when you do forgive, then you reopen all of those pathways, all the energy can now flow. The thing I'm curious about is, how do you forgive? When you are, and I know you do coaching with people, so when you're coaching with somebody and you get the scent or they tell you the story about not forgiving family member, business partner, whatever, how do you help them see that it's necessary to release and to release that?
Well, you know, having them see it by making them really look at it and be like, how does this make you feeling this way? You know, who is that? What is that helping? Anything? You know, getting them first really ready to be available to let it go and understand that, you know, just what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then connecting to that feeling of what it would feel like to let it go. Because, you know, we're big smarty pants with big brains and everything, but the emotions really do sort of run the show. So when you can really get in that energetic of, oh my gosh, it would be like a gorilla crawling off my chest if I could just let that go and really soak in that feeling of letting it go and let all the emotions of letting it go run through you. That's the only way I know how to do it. But again, it's one of those things where you can't just want it. You have to spend the time. You have to put the time aside to meditate on it and to breathe into it and really acknowledge it. I think we really want the quick fix and we want these things to move on just because we become aware of them, but it's that extra step of taking the time to sit your butt down and really do the work.
Oh yeah, we all want the quick fix. We are in the Western world where we want instant gratification, so yes.
Yeah.
I want it too. I want the easy button. I want to just put the easy button on my desk and slap it whenever I need it to change something.
Mm-hmm.
And a bell rings and the universe changes and I'm done.
That's our next invention.
I was going to say, you want to co-create that with me? Let's be entrepreneurs.
Totally. That's an awesome idea.
There's ideas everywhere. So it can be this excuse eraser. I don't know.
Right.
We could think of something. So what do you think are some of the key principles for taking taking on a person's power. In other words, if they want to own being a smartass, there's that smartass, candyass, badass. I don't know. I got all these ass-oriented thoughts in my brain now. So if somebody wants to be a badass, whether they want to do that, you know, introverted or extroverted, how do they begin to live that? What are some key principles, thoughts, actions, takeaways that come to mind and you maybe use when you coach people?
First, get the books. Get all the material, DVDs, like make it part of a habit where you wake up every day, even if you just read a book for 5 minutes. And if you're working on your money issues, read the money classics, the Science of Getting Rich and Think and Grow Rich and all that stuff. You know, if you're just general stuff, like all of our stuff, anybody else, there's no lack of material, but you have to get in there and you have to make that part of your habit. So get down with the program and start having a practice with that. I'm a huge believer in meditation, even if it's just 5 minutes a day. I think 20 minutes twice a day, really great, but that's where you get to see what's really going on with your brain, which leads me to the third point, which is become aware of your limiting beliefs and thoughts. Because until you are aware of what's going on, you really can't make changes. And the best way to become aware is to meditate and to listen to what runs through your brain and get used to being the watcher. And then begin the process of rewriting those thoughts and questioning them. The second they come up, it's about questioning them. Because it's just as easy to believe that you're a big fat loser as it is to believe that you're awesome. It really is. It's just a choice. So when you start to see what you're believing and you question, it's like, am I a big fat loser? Like, well, no, I've got A, B, and C. Like, when you start to question the things, and I mean, being funny, but it's like we've all got, like, my big thing was I don't know how to make money, right? That was my big thing forever. And then once I started questioning, it's like, well, have you ever made money? And I was like, yeah. So could you have made that money if you didn't know how to make money? And so I was like, I guess not. You know, and it's like, you start to pull it apart, and then the truth comes through. And there's a great line in The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, where he says to, what is it? To think the truth. Do you know the line? Think of the.
No, not offhand.
Okay, so whatever you decide to think is the truth is basically what what he says, regardless of your environment. So your thoughts are the truth. So whatever you choose to think is the truth, because I can or I can't, whatever you choose in that department is the truth. You either can or then you can't, because you've decided you can't. So that's why all this, you know, monkey wrangling is so important, because that really is the truth. And it's so funny, you know, like when I started on this journey, I kept hearing the same things over and over. It's like, you know, pay attention to your thoughts, meditate, read the books. And I was like, yeah, that's great. I get it. I've heard it a zillion times. But what's the real secret? Like, it's got to be something really hard and mysterious and weird, right? Because there's no way I could change my whole life doing all that stupid crap, because I've heard it a million times. But that is it, right?
And what's the kind of meditation that you do? What do you recommend? Some people, you know, they've heard it too. They've heard they should meditate, and they probably have heard all kinds of meditations. What kind do you do?
I do a couple of things. I'm good first thing in the morning. I just get up, and for 20 minutes I set an alarm, because if I don't, then I panic that maybe I've, yeah, whatever. I set an alarm, and I just sit quietly. I have a fountain outside. I sit by my fountain, and I just breathe with my eyes closed. And I focus on, I sometimes focus on my breath, but then it makes it hard for me to breathe, to be perfectly honest. So that's an old trick that everybody uses. I focus on the sound of the fountain. That's one thing, but I also do a lot of guided meditation. I love the Abraham Hicks guided meditation. I think it's a really personal preference, but I have a couple that are my sort of go-tos, but that's pretty much it for me.
What inspires you? What keeps you going?
Oh, so music is a huge one. I actually put a moratorium on sad music. I realize that affects me so strongly. Even though I love it, like the melancholy, whatever, you know,
right.
the minor chord. So music is an instant way for me to pull myself out of a funk and to keep myself really motivated and excited. Nature is gigantic for me. Going hiking, exercise, especially exercising in nature, can make me come over and flip over a car when I get home. well, hanging out with people who are super funny and super smart and super motivated and kicking butt, like, that's a huge one. Reading these books that we're talking about, totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we've all...
What book has influenced you the most? Or a couple of them, if they come to mind.
Oh, gosh. Well, that Debbie Ford book that I mentioned, I love Byron Katie's... Loving What Is. I think it's such a great one, you guys, if you have relationship stuff. That's sort of the whole questioning thing. The Science of Getting Rich, I have read 100,000 times.
Mm.
Well, there's so many. I can't believe I can't think of them.
Okay. Are you writing another book?
I'm always writing another book.
Yeah?
Aren't you? Yeah.
Can you give us a sneak peek? Can you tell us?
Yes. I am doing, I'm doing a You Are Badass series now. Yeah, so I've got, you know, I don't know about you, but I definitely need a break between books because it's a large process for me. So I, you know, after this You Are Badass, I'm doing sort of a pocket You Are a Badass, which is I was going to basically the title, You Are a Badass in Your Own Pocket.
Right, that's good. I like that. You are a badass in your own pocket. I like it. Yeah, you are a badass in your purse, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm doing sort of a little one-liner thing, but I'm also making products, which I'm so excited about, which is one of the main reasons I started a band back in the day is for all the swag, like all the T-shirts and the magnets and the... So I'm really excited about that.
Well, you should be. And are the T-shirts going to say, you are a badass, or are they going to say, I am a badass?
You know, it's still under construction. We're not quite sure yet, but...
or just say, badass, ?
Yeah, right. Who is a badass?
And you do speaking, you travel. Do you travel a lot doing speaking engagements and things?
Yeah, that's another thing that I'm really that's really my passion now is being on stage and speaking and interacting with the audience because kind of like the new rock star because you know I was on stage a lot in a band and I'm not in a band right now and I feel like that's sort of the outlet for the performance rush is the speaking. So I'm really looking forward to that and doing it all over the world and meeting the people, you know. It's like when you have an online business like we do, it's so great that you can reach people all over the world. But I'm ready to go meet them all.
Yeah, you want to meet them in person. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, sure.
Before we run out of time here, let me ask you a couple other questions, more loose and free form. And one of the questions is, and this is me being a badass here, what is a question you wish someone would ask you?
Oh, that's so good. What is a question I wish someone would ask me? How'd I get so beautiful? No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Joe, you've asked them all. Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want people to take away from this? We've given them so much information and excitement and emotion and techniques and stories and insights and even books they can go read. What do you want them to take away? I mean, what do you personally think is a key point for them to chew on?
Oh, okay. I really want you to know that no matter where you are or what your perceived reality looks like right now, I don't care how down in the dumps, how broke, how terminally single, terminally overweight, terminally ill, people have turned it around from far worse situations than you've got, and you absolutely can do anything you set your mind to. Like, we really do live in a world of miracles. I mean, think about it. We're on a planet hurling through space. What does it all mean anyway, right? So why not be able to completely transform your life on a dime? It has happened. I've seen it happen in my own life. I've seen it in my clients' lives, in my mentors' lives. I mean, we're all the same thing. We're all just people. So, you know, we don't have any more than you do to do this kind of stuff. So if we can do it, you can do it.
I love it, and I think I want to end there. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Jen. This is wonderful. I love you. I love what you're doing. Everybody, go get her book, You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. Go to her website. She's got a blog. She sends out a wonderful newsletter. You ended your newsletter the other day, and I laughed for about 3 days afterwards, and it said, "See you soon, balloon." And that one line, "See you soon, balloon," was so childlike and charming and different and unique and humorous, I couldn't get it out of my lungs. I just kept, see, I'm still laughing. And so I'm going to say that to you, Jen. See you soon, balloon.
I hope so, balloon.
Go to our website, www.jensincero.com, JenSincero.com. Get her book, You Are a Badass. It's at Amazon and all the other places that sell wonderful books like this one. Everybody, Godspeed to you. Go for your dreams.